Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 26.
Yes,
we're back. Yeah, exactly. So a lot of stuff has happened in the past week and a half or however long it's been since we've been recording. So I want to jump right into it. There is what I like to call a delicious and entertaining conversation on the Yahoo discussion group, the Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo discussion group, about the New York Course in Miracles conference. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why it was so deliciously entertaining is it was managed or facilitated by a gentleman. I think his name is Reverend Tony. Not quite sure. His last name starts with a P, Ponticello or something like that. So I apologize, Reverend Tony, who I'm sure you're listening to this podcast, if I mangled your last name. But the crux of this was he had given a talk at the end of this New York conference. I think he was the last speaker. And he had some comments about the version of The Course in Miracles that he uses. And he talked a little about that. And I think a few people may have had ruffled feathers. I don't quite know how to say that. And Gary Renard, who we respect and love, put out a statement that he wasn't completely aligned with what Reverend Tony had said. The reason why I was so fixated on this is because there was very telling the way comments came through about this conflict, and I use conflict in quotes, right?
Let me just state one little thing. Yes. That I think it's because he said it was a religion.
So Reverend Tony had said that The Course in Miracles is a religion, and that may have caused some stepping on landmines for mm-hmm. some people with the concept of religion.
But, churches, taxes.
Right, and you had referenced the course as being your religion. But mm-hmm. I think we talk about it colloquially. We don't really mean it like, oh, we go to a church and, you know, on Sunday mornings and that kind of thing. I think for us, it's more like it's a religion. Just like, to be honest with you, sometimes wine can be a religion.
Yeah, it's a self-study course.
It's how you define it, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was your take on the whole interchange?
Definitely that there was an interchange going on. It definitely charged people up. One of the things I resonated with was, what version of the course was I using? And I realized I was using the wrong version.
Well, you and I use a different version, and we didn't realize that.
Well, I'm on an iPad, so the version that was available for me was the one from Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, I'm on an iPad too, but I read it through the Amazon app, and you're reading it through the iTunes app, and that's the difference.
Well, the FIP version is only available on Amazon Kindle, so I have Kindle for iPad, but it's not the same as iBooks.
Right, so you're using the iBook version, whatever was available on the iTunes book.
Yeah, it's like the Course in Miracles Society or something out of Nebraska, which uses the Hugh Lynn Casey version. Right. So it's not the sanctioned Foundation of Inner Peace version.
But I think it's safe to say that we could give a toss what version we're reading.
Well, I do feel that my version that I have, I say my because it's what I have, is working for me.
Yeah, mine too.
So, you know, I don't know whatever about which versions. But I think I had read in that paper by Ken Wapnick that there was only three differences in the Hugh Lynn Casey version, which is the version that this particular organization is using. To me, when I saw the cover, and I think back to the Billy Fingers book, Pearls on the Cover, that just is another sign to me from Jesus that I'm using the perfect book for me at the perfect time.
Exactly. We're just not that attached, I think it's safe to say, about what version we're reading. I know I'm not, and I'm definitely not attached to whether this be a religion or not, because to be honest with you, I just don't care.
I certainly don't want to show up someplace on a Sunday.
Me neither, because then you have to get dressed up and wash your hair, and you know.
It's a self-study course.
It's too much.
I dig that.
Yeah, I do too. I just thought it was a really interesting kind of expression of ego going on with email exchanges back and forth, which, like I said, I thought they were very entertaining. So thank you very much to all the posters on the Disappearance of Universe discussion group regarding this particular thread.
I love that Gary said he was going to say something once, and that Reverend Tony also said, I'm going to say something once. And both said, hey, I'd come back if you'd invite me. And he'd be like, yeah, sure, we'd love to have you.
I thought it was like two gentlemen just having, you know, discourse, which I truly appreciated.
I think that should be allowed. I mean, that is the human experience.
From our perspective, whatever version we use, I don't think it really matters as long as we get the gist of it. Like, we understand it's about our connection to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. And that's all that really matters. Because there are some books, even like the Billy Fingers book, which I am so, so attached to because I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. I think that was as transformative on some level. because it helped me get past some of like, oh, that's the deal. That's what this
like what happens once
through.
You cross over,
right?
Like, I wish that the FIP had it available on iTunes, and please, people, get that together because we need that. But in the meantime, I'm making do with the other version, and there's only three differences, and they're not big differences, and I'm okay with that. But as time goes on, as we know, people like to make differences.
Right.
So there could be other versions. So future podcast people in the hundreds of years from now who might be listening to us, please listen to the source.
But the source is ultimately Jesus on either one.
Exactly.
So, you know, is there really a difference here?
At this point in time, no. You know, maybe in 50 years, there'll be 20 different versions.
Yeah, who knows?
Because what did they say? There's 20,000 different kinds of Christianity.
Yeah, it's funny, it's crazy, because the human condition keeps separating and making their own thing. And you know, you're right. In 50 years, who knows? But I can say, because we've had a history with the ARE, I think we both find Julian Casey a decent fella. And he's a place in our heart. So I just wanted to say that. Thanks again to those who are posting. I thought that was a really interesting thread.
I think, will we go to the next conference? I think, why not? We still haven't been to this version of a conference.
That's true. We haven't been to the East Coast version, quote unquote.
Well, it's this particular promoter, where the other one is the Beverly show, and this one is the other Reverend Tony show. And I kind of think we should create our own show sometime, but that's another story.
The Course, of course, sponsors a third, an independent version.
The people we're into.
Course and Course, right?
Time will tell.
Yeah, you never know. Okay, let's talk about some other stuff that's going on. If you don't mind, we can entertain this for maybe 5 minutes, because I think it's become part of the zeitgeist in American culture at the moment. There's a television show on an American network called TLC. It's about a large family with 19 children, and one of the children got into a bit of would I say trouble? I don't know, some sort of situation. Let's just say I don't want to put too much attention on this.
But you should say what the heck he did.
I don't know if I want to. Is it necessary?
Well, it's an emotionally charged thing.
True, but what I want to get to the bottom of is the fact that people became so attached to this. They want to know more about it and what really happened. And there was it was like an explosion of judgment. And I get it when something happens that just seems so completely, I don't know, anathema to who we are. We want to have a voice and say, oh no, you can't do that. But there's this part of me that was like, just let it alone. I mean, I don't have any stake in the situation. I have an opinion, but does it really matter what my opinion is?
I think because they're in the public light, people think that they demand an explanation. They want details.
Correct.
And they deserve it.
But do they?
Well, they've made their life public.
That doesn't mean that therefore anybody can,
right?
You know what I mean?
Doesn't matter in the overall picture? No.
No, but going back to the ego thing, I mean, there's so much ego, like just jumping around on this thing. It became, I think, huge because there's something about the content of the issue that really pushed buttons.
It's kind of like that thing I was speaking about earlier offline about that addiction to speed and how people drink caffeine and soda and energy drinks, like just keeping us distracted. That's what I think the news media does.
Yes.
And it's like being a winner. If you can get an inside scoop on a delicious story that you can break about something, I mean, people are fixated with that stuff. It's
absolutely
become part of our culture.
I remember a few years ago reading about kind of the issues that were going on once Gary originally published Disappearance of the Universe. And there was all this, I don't know if I call it backlash, but there's a lot of criticism about it. And he was starting to feel like there's a lot of stuff that were just mean-spirited. And Art and Persa were like, you're just going to have to, some of the stuff you're just going to have to let go, because there are going to be egos out there that are going to say whatever they want. And it's a lot easier to do that when you're on the internet. You can hide behind the millions of computers that comprise the internet now. But I thought during this particular issue with the gentleman in this television show that I was reading some of the discussion groups, and I thought, oh, wow. There was so much vitriol. And I get it. What we were learning wasn't exactly something that anybody could embrace easily. Every time I was reading something, I thought, there's got to be forgiveness here. We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. What is the statute of limitations for forgiveness? Mm-hmm. If somebody does something that isn't, I don't know, maybe you can call it heinous, I don't know, do they have to live with that mistake for the rest of their life? At what point can you say, I forgive this and move on? In this particular situation, it's got nothing to do with anybody else. It only has to do with those people who were involved.
I think the forgiveness and the grace that you feel that transforms could happen at any moment that someone's willing to give it up. And it can transcend through the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right. But I also saw so many egos who were anonymous that were putting so much judgment on this situation. Yeah, I get it. On the surface, it didn't look good.
You know what I think of? I think of like throwing some kind of meat into a lake or something and all these piranhas coming over and just feeding and feasting on it like craziness.
Yeah.
That's how it is. These things are all distractions. They're all just to keep us separated.
How amazing this is going to be when our race, humans, really start coming together and transcending, and you don't see this stuff anymore. Kind of like whatever that group of people, was it Atlanteans or Lemurians or whomever, they just kind of all advanced, and that's why they're no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so great if that's what happened to America.
Like in Alex's comic book with the alien lady when they're just down to the last few people.
Yeah, I don't want to be the last woman standing. I want to be like...
That's so funny you say that, because the other day I was at a studio and Kristen Shaw walked through the door and I'm like, oh my God, I love your TV show. I've been watching you since Flight of the Conchords and The Daily Show.
She was on 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. She did have a bit part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's on The Last Man Standing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny.
We digress. Anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about in terms of what was happening in the American zeitgeist in the past week or so. Mm-hmm. I hope that ultimately forgiveness can be handled with all parties that are relevant. You know, maybe the rest of America can go off and, you know, focus on their own stuff.
I think one positive possibility outcome is that they are religious, and maybe they, with Jesus, can be like truly forgiving.
You know, thank you for bringing up religion again, because I think it's an interesting topic. I grew up very religious, well, in a very religious household, Catholics.
You went to Catholic high school, right?
I went to Catholic schools. I went to public high school.
Okay.
I find that, at least in, I want to say New Age community, I'm again using air quotes here, that religion is kind of looked at in a condescending manner. Like, oh, religion, right? As I've become older, I don't have that reaction anymore. I think religion can be really positive. I think there are people who get something out of it. So I don't want to paint it with a broad brush.
Right.
It's just not something that I align to.
Yeah.
But if somebody would say the course is a religion, I got to be honest. I don't really care one or the other.
Yeah, it doesn't get my panties in a bundle.
Yeah, because I don't think it's no longer a hot button issue for me. It is what it is.
It's just a word.
It's just a word. Everything's a word, right?
Yeah.
It's just whatever kind of lights up within us when that word is presented.
Invoked. Yeah. Like one time I called the course my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, it's colloquial.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Don't get hung up on the words, people.
Yeah, who cares? All right, moving on. So let's talk about your week. I know that you want to talk a little more about your slow burn. Things are really improving on that aspect.
Oh, yeah. I think because of the course, like, I definitely credit it to that, because I have shifted. It took some time for the other party to also come up to my shift.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the last month or so, it's been very intense production-wise. I feel like we've been very lovey-dovey.
So you and Slow Burn have come to a point where you guys appreciate each other.
Yes. Where that kind of hostile, cold, robotic, German kind of wall came through
German.
The door. You know. Now it's very soft and gooey. Like, we're connected again.
Germans can be soft and gooey. I am one. So back at you.
Alrighty. Right.
That's huge. That is a huge thing. And I think it's really nice to hear kind of a real world example of how you can have, I don't know, an acrimonious relationship kind of resolve.
I figured out it took me about 1 year and 5 months. It took me at least a couple months to transform it within my own mind. And that was really, really hard digging deep and down and like journal writing and undoing the mind and self-correcting mentally. But then it took like another year for it to really show up on the other side. Mm-hmm. Because even though I had shifted, I think I had to own it or be it or reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took her some time to feel safe within it. and then to then be that.
But you know what? I think that's huge. I think that is, you know, it's funny. We think of all the achievements in our life. Oh, I, you know, was first place in a bowling tournament or whatever. But what you just described, I think, is kind of like the gold medal.
Well, it's like a marriage, even though I'm not. My work is kind of who I'm married to.
Well, it's true because you're at work more than you're at home.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you're at home, but a lot of that time is sleeping. So you're at work with more conscious hours than you are at home. Let's put
correct
it that way.
And I even work at home and on a holiday weekend, yesterday and today.
You are nuts, I will say that.
Because everyone else is showing up, and I figure if they are, I can too.
I see.
Because I'm like in it. I'm in for
the
team
spirit. You're in it to win it. I am not. I didn't bring my laptop home, and I haven't checked an email in a while. So I'm going to go in and win it on Tuesday morning, because tomorrow, listeners, is Memorial Day as we're recording. I have a different kind of connection, I think, a different approach to it.
Yeah, a different place where your point of view is, because right, you've even got to work from home this week, which is awesome.
Which is so great. Yes, I now get to work from home every week.
That's like freaking insane to pull your salary and just work from home.
I don't know.
I'm jealous. Like, I wish I could do that. There's no
this
way.
This is what
I could
I've
do
learned
that
there's no good television during the day. I've learned that. One thing I've learned.
Guess what? That means you get to read the course and maybe meditate a few times.
That is true. And it's nice to be able to take a walk at lunchtime or, you know, first thing in the morning, so I don't have to, you know, get all ready and drive into work and stuff like that. So that's, I'm sure this is fascinating for listeners. So let's go and talk about your friend who you discussed, I don't know, a few podcasts ago, who had some mental illness and he was in a facility. What's going on with him?
He's actually home now. And I think what...
Where's home?
Los Angeles with his parents. He spent about a year, I call it bipolar hopping around the United States from couch to couch. But that addiction to speed is kind of what brought it up, because I was thinking of a musical artist and how they put their songs on the record and how it seemed we had this addiction to speed, and whether it's the drinks. How much... It's interesting how much of the speed comes through the drinks. Mm-hmm. For instance, because it was Cinco de Mayo recently,
yes,
they had tequila on sale at Costco, but it came with a coffee liqueur. To me, that was mother's milk. That was like my madman cocktail.
Oh, tequila in Kahlua?
It was a tequila that had a coffee flavor.
I see.
It was called XO Cafe.
Oh yeah, we got to keep you away from that.
But that was the first time I ever felt dangerous that alcohol could be, that I could end up drinking that every night for the rest of my life.
Right.
So after I finished that bottle, I said no more. But the addiction to speed and how it comes through beverages is fascinating. And why do we have this addiction? So I asked myself today, and the answer I got was, it keeps us separated from God because we're moving too fast to slow down and be with God.
Here's the irony. You would think that wanting to be with God would be like the prime motivator every day. Who wouldn't want to be with God?
Right.
But yet, no, our ego wants us to be so separate that it keeps creating every distraction you can imagine.
Right.
Whether it's food or liquor or trauma or whatever.
This week, my lesson has been around the body and the workbook. And it's, you know, what is the body? Well, it's a fence. It's a fence. Think of yourself as a fence blocking God.
A fence like a gate. A fence.
And that we think we're safe over here on this side of the fence, but really what we're blocking is love.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, if we align ourselves with God, then Jesus or the Holy Spirit can actually join hands with us. And then all of a sudden, this vehicle of the body becomes a useful, beneficial tool to heal the mind. And that to me is like, wow!
It seems like we are clowns in a circus.
Yeah.
The circus is the earth. And the clowns are all of us.
And people are watching us and laughing their heads off.
You mean, where are these people?
In the mind, in the oneness.
They're like, come on, you clowns. Seriously, you're not getting this. How many lifetimes is it going to take?
Oi.
Oi is right.
And the whole oneness of it all, that's also another aspect of just still remembering that all these fractions are really just the oneness.
Going back to the oneness concept, I was watching a documentary, as I do, because, you know, I'm an intellectual, and it was on the march, and it was Martin Luther King, and Art and Persa in one of the Gary books talked about Martin Luther King and Gandhi being enlightened souls while they were down here. And so I wanted to really fixate on him while he was giving the I Have a Dream speech. And I started crying because just the language that he used, the way he pasted words together to get an emotional response blew me away. And although I've seen that speech a number of times, it was the first time I truly paid attention to it. And when he said, when he thinks of his four little children, it's important that people don't see the color of their skin, but see the content of their character. And it's that small phrase that had me bawling. And it's not that it was so earth-shattering. I heard it before, but it was just the way he put those words together. And I talked to you about this, one of my many history boyfriends, because I have many. Abraham Lincoln also was kind of a painter of words as well. It's also one of the reasons why I love the Billy Fingers book. I thought Annie Kagan did the same thing. It's that painting with words that makes it so transcendent. Mm-hmm. I truly appreciated Martin Luther King in that moment. I can see how he was an enlightened soul. It really impressed me just sitting here watching it for the 20th time that I finally got it. Mm-hmm. It's funny how many enlightened souls may be in our sphere, our orbit, that we don't take time to take in. There could be many. Well, you and I, for one. but it could have been our waiter at dinner or what. You know what I mean? Like, I just think all of us have the potential to be enlightened souls, and we all are. That you don't have to be perfect to transcend. You don't have to be perfect to be enlightened.
Because I feel like I've been beating myself up a lot lately about my food choices and how my body is and how I have this story, like I feel toxic, and there's always this little voice going about how everything is about my body and the clothes and blah, blah, blah. And it just, it really does get sickening. And I do get that it's a distraction from God. I feel like everyone has this voice that's always putting us down.
And that voice is our own little ego.
It sucks.
It totally does. Let's get rid of it, shall we?
But even despite our faults, such as displayed with Martin Luther or with Billy Fingers, we can still transcend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is a beautiful thing.
It truly is. And on that note, I think we will end, Course of Course, episode 26. Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for listening to the Course of Course, episode 26. We can't wait to bring you 27 next week.
Bye.